Support for KMUW's Into Music podcast comes from McClelland, reminding listeners that Frank Sinatra coined the word skibbity in Strangers in the Night, which you can listen to in their downtown Wichita showroom. More info on McClelland's innovative sound, lighting, and video technology can be found at maxsound.com.
Hi, I'm Jed Bodwin, and you're listening to Into Music from the KMUW Studios, part of the NPR Podcast Network. My guest on this episode is Armin Fard of Bad Soma. Bad Soma is a six-piece indie rock band from Southern California. The group issued its self-titled EP in November 2025, and Fard spoke with me about the decision to move away from being a solo artist to a more collaborative environment. What that meant for the music itself, and the disparate elements that make Bad Soma's music difficult to characterize for some listeners, and whether he's okay with that or not. That's Armin Fard of Bad Soma on Into Music, coming up now. I want to talk about the EP, but I guess to get there, we should talk about a little bit of the origins, because this kind of started as a solo project. That's where it began for you?
Yeah. I think, I've been making music for a very long time, just like bedroom producer kind of thing. And yeah, I don't know, just sometime in the midst of the pandemic, like just something clicked. I was like, you know, I think I'm ready to put some stuff out. And so like created this like pseudonym Bad Soma. And at first it was just like me in my bedroom. So like the first two records, singles that are out, they're just me. And then the next project, the next EP was still just me in my bedroom, but then with my partner at the time, Sarah. It was still kind of like very much just us in the studio. And it wasn't until that sort of ended with the last record that I felt like I wanted to, like, this wasn't just going to be me anymore. And that I wanted to kind of like make it about something else. Like I was really looking forward to just being in a band. Felt like I hadn't had that experience, that musical experience. And like, I don't know, there was just something about like the being isolated for so long in the pandemic, where it was just, I was ready to experience music in a collective, like in a group again.
That's interesting, because I think there are those people, you know, as you kind of, you know, self-described, you know, sort of a bedroom artist or whatever, and they're perfectly happy doing everything on their own. And it's interesting because I totally get where it would be attractive to suddenly start playing with people after being all by yourself for all that time, that switch would flip like that.
Yeah, I think at first it was more like a social aspect. Okay, I just wanted to be in a rehearsal space with other musicians working stuff out. Like there was just this feeling that I wanted to do that now. And I guess a part of it also was like, I had already experienced writing with another person, and it was just so transformative for the way I thought about music and like approached music. I just didn't see a way back from that. Or I didn't want to. Yeah, I think there's something about relenting, like giving away control, that I found very liberating, actually.
Well, you mentioned being like in a rehearsal room with people, and there is something about that energy when you start playing with somebody, and maybe you don't know exactly what the results are going to be. It's sort of like, where's this going? And it starts unfolding, and it's like, oh, that's cool. let's go that way.
Exactly. And I think so much of this record, the EP, subtitled EP, is like the genesis of it is that, because we would bring songs to the band and there would be just like a template. And then, you know, so much of it would be formed as we were learning them, as we were learning each other's songs, and like in the rehearsal space, like figuring out the tones we liked and how to interpret this song that I've ever only written, played on on my piano. How does that work as a band? Like, and I think we were all very open to like bringing our ideas, because we all contributed to this writing and this record, and I think that was a big part of it. Like, we all brought ideas, and then we were very open to those ideas being taken apart, put back together. Yeah. And that was very important for the way we worked on the set of songs.
Yeah, well, I wonder what that might have been like for, I mean, just obviously you can only speak for yourself, but for you who had worked by yourself before, but maybe to have somebody say, okay, hey, when we get to the bridge, let's do this.
Yeah, I think it was really hard for me first time around when I was, that like the second EP, Kicking and Screaming, that I wrote with my partner. That was challenging because I was coming from a world where I just would, whatever I said went because it was just me, right? And I got to like really explore what I liked and what I wanted. And as I was like getting better at music production, like as I was like learning how to actually make the sounds I was hearing in my head like into reality, that is exhilarating. But then it can also box you in because there's no other outside force nudging you in any other direction. So in a way, it is liberating and limiting in some way. And so like to come out of that and like, yeah, like you said, like in that second EP, I would have an idea and then I would bring it to my writing partner and then she'd have a completely different idea. I would be so resistant to it. And it really took me some time and some hand-wringing to give up that control. But then the results were so much better, at least the way it the way it felt to me, like it represented something bigger than I could have ever done by myself. So that like giving up control ended up like having a positive result at the end. And that really like opened me up to like not resisting that, but actually welcoming it. Like if someone comes in and has a completely different idea about how a part of the song that I worked out at home, I'm a lot more open to that now, and I think we all are. And I credit that to that first time around when I got to experience that in like a more intimate setting with just one other person. It was almost like an incubation period that let me experience that, and then now I get to really lean into that. I almost like welcome it. Like I want the rest of the band to like take what I write apart. I don't want it to like, I almost like demo stuff at home here at in my home studio. And I take that to them. That's happened a few times. And we try to go away from that reference point, like intentionally, like do things differently than Armin does at home.
Well, I think too that there's a point that we go through, and I certainly what you're describing, about somebody wants to change something, and you get, I can remember when that would happen with me with whatever I was creating, and you sort of take it personally, and you get very hurt, and you get possessive,
Yes.
and when you've collaborated with people after a while, what you learn is like sometimes you don't know like what your best stuff is, like. I recently turned something, a piece of writing into an editor, and there was stuff, I got to be honest, I was like, I'm kind of cringing at this, right? And he came back with, oh my gosh, like nobody can do this like you do it.
Totally. I think you're so right about that. And that's what I find liberating. I think you said it, that sort of outside party coming in, someone you trust, like it has to be like for you, it's an editor, which I think, as someone who has also done some writing and editing and stuff, like I know the relationship there is like almost like a bandmate, like it can be that intimate. And I think that's the relationship I have with my bandmates. It's like we're all really trusting of one another, and we all like really respect each other's artistic take. So like that is always the starting point. I think it comes, for me, it came, I had to learn that. I had to learn to be deferential and to humble myself in the presence of other people's input and ideas. So it was a learning process, but I think what we have today is so much bigger than that someone could have been as a solo project.
So the music on this EP is interesting to me because it is, and I mean this in the best possible way, it is so unusual because there are parts that I think if you separate them, if you heard them separately, you know, let's say two different parts, and you go, how are they going to fit together? But somehow they mesh, right? And that's not something that's easy to kind of pull off. So is that just down to like being representative of the individual voices in the band, or how does that kind of, you know, work? If you know how it works at all.
No, I think that's a good point. Like, this is an ever-changing dynamic, right? And I think where like we definitely captured something that I think, in my humble opinion, like balances the individuality and the cohesion in some way. But I don't take that for granted. I think we were able to do it for this record. But I think we have to relearn that balance every time. I think what helped us was really thinking of our songs as different pieces, different Lego pieces that were all branded in the same way. That's kind of what I had in mind, is I wanted us to bring really, really original, kind of out there ideas, but then kind of funnel them through the same recording process, such that they would be colored and like have the same overall sonic feel. I wanted you to feel like you've heard this record where there are very different ideas all happening in the same space. And that, I think we did that. And a part of that, part of the way that worked, is because we literally did do that. We all brought our ideas and then we all recorded them in the span of like 3-4 days at Muscat Records here in LA. So I think a big part of that cohesion comes from the fact that, you know, we were very strict about like, we want the same space, the drums have to have the same sort of like preset on them throughout the record. There's like some differences there, but we really wanted you to feel like you're listening to the band kind of play the record front to back, but then the songs are really different from one another.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good point too about the consistency of the sound, because I mean, at one time, you know, a band would have gone in and made a record in an afternoon or something, and there wouldn't have been like, oh, let's switch from a Ludwig kit to a Gretsch kit, and let's switch this amp for that amp. It's the same thing. And then you just got to find the difference based on the limitations that you have.
Exactly. I think that limitation is also liberating. I really wanted to create a record that felt like lived in and like rich. I think as someone who, like, you know, I was making like dance records in my bedroom when I was 15, right? So I just like, yeah, I have a long background with like laptop music. And so like, that's like still my go-to spot, you know, like go-to, like if I'm, you know, late at night, just bored, sometimes I'm just like making loops. But like with Bat Soma, I just really think we are at our best when we lean into this sort of raw, like lived in rustic sort of sound that comes out of just, you know, a bunch of human beings in the same room plugging into amps and just letting it out, you know, letting it loose. And I really wanted to capture that feeling. And I think we're just going to keep doing that. Like, I really think that Soma is about the humans involved ultimately. Like, I really want this project to center what it feels like when people come together with respect and humility and create something that is bigger than the sum of their parts. I know that sounds really cliche, but I feel like where we live in such a, like, I don't know, like, virtual world now, where, like, I personally crave work for the analog and, like, the real and the tactile all the time. And that's what I look for in the music I listen to as well. And that's what I want our music to sound like too.
Well, it's interesting to me too, right? Because I'm sort of, as somebody who listens to music and you know, programs a music show and has done journalism and so forth, right? You're sort of programmed to look for similarities because, for instance, readers want to go, oh, okay, so that sounds like Hayley Williams. Okay, so now I know where to start. And I feel like I really struggled listening to this music to find something that I could go, okay, I can ping this at a certain point in popular music history and say it's like this. And I think that's a real positive, you know, because it's coming from a place where it's like, okay, this is not necessarily just a reflection of our influences. Influences are great, but at some point, they're detrimental.
Yeah, I think as a new band, like, and you know, this is just our first, like, sort of record we've made together, so I still call us a new band. I think that's a positive. I like it. I would never have it any other way. But it almost is like a double-edged sword, because as a newer kid on the block, you almost want to have a really simple elevator pitch, like. It is hard for us to get on these, like, programmatic, especially like digital playlists, because a lot of them are so geared towards something that already is tested and true. And you kind of just, like, you know, you have a lot more success if you can point to a new song and say, oh yeah, this sounds exactly like the other thing, so I'm going to lump it into this category. We found that to be a challenge, especially as sort of unknowns. But I totally agree with you. I wouldn't have it any other way. And I think in the long run, I think that that'll actually help us. We will hopefully have this, like, longer tail where we can, you know, we can stand out and we can sort of, like, tap into that element of surprise. Like, I can't really pin this. I agree. Like, I can't either. You know, it's hard for me to say, like, yeah, this is for fans of Japanese Breakfast by way of Wilco. Like, maybe. But yeah, I agree and I like it, but it's also a challenge.
Yeah, and see, that was the thing too, where it was like I didn't even get that. I got much more like I don't know if you remember, like, some of that, or have heard some of the sort of, they were calling it freak folk, like Devendra Banhart, Akron Family.
Yes. I love Devendra Banhart. Oh, so that's great. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, but even that, I was like, yeah, for like a second.
That's true. Yeah. I think I want us to lean into that. I think that's what's going to separate us. Everyone who I listen to now has that quality too. Like, one of my favorite bands right now is Magdalena Bay. Like, what is that? Like, you know, I think people call them, like, I don't know, like neo wave or something like that. Disco wave, like, but I don't really think any of that really describes their music. And I really like that, because you'll have them do this, like, sort of neon colored, like, pop, and then go into this, like, orchestral bit that just, like, throws you off, and then come back to something that's just very acoustic. And I just love that. You know, I don't want to be predictable ultimately. And that's what I gravitate towards in the music that I listen to, just myself as well.
Oh yeah. Because it's like, if you start playing the genre, right, then most times there's some sort of limitation, like, oh, you can't bring horns into a death metal band.
Yeah. Or can you?
Yeah, right. You can't do that in a dance band, you know.
Yes.
And it's those like very rare cases where somebody says, okay, I think you can. But a lot of times, you know, if that template's set too early, people just are very resistant to it.
Yes. And I think also it's important, I want us to keep pushing against that envelope. I think it's also really easy to then get complacent. Once you have your own template that works, it's also very easy to then redo that. Even though right now we have this, like, we have struck this like really novel sound, it's really easy for us to like say, yeah, we're so different. But then we also have to be different than ourselves. Right now we are in, at the beginning of the road, so we almost have the luxury of novelty, if that makes sense. But the next set of songs that we're going to work on, like, I think we really need to look at what we did with this record and then see how we can evolve from here. And I think that's going to be a challenge. It's not something I'm going to take for granted, that it's just going to happen the same way that it did this time. Like, we have to be conscious about that and like really push against it.
You've been listening to a conversation with Armin Fard of Bad Soma. The band's most recent EP is out now, available on digital streaming platforms and Bandcamp. You can learn more about Bad Soma at badsoma.com. You can learn more about this podcast and all programming on our station by visiting our website, kmuw.org. Send us your questions and comments at info@kmuw.org and find all the latest programming notes on that website as well. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time. And we want to take this moment to remind you that our theme music is composed and performed by Torin Anderson. Bye.